What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right. Welcome, everybody, to the Take Human Action podcast. One of our organizers, Regina Badger, is here with us tonight. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jamie?
Can't complain. So I kind of wanted to jump right into it because you had a little bit of an update for us on the psychedelic decrim movement going on. You had an issue coalition that you were sponsoring, and if you give us the lowdown on what's going on there.
Yeah. First of all, I wanted to say that I love your Hail Lobster shirt. I have that one too. It's a favorite.
Thank you. Yeah, it is definitely one of my favorites. I like to wear it whenever we go to the work site and whatnot. Spread the message.
Right. So little bit of an update that's exciting to me. For the entheogenic plant policy, we finally heard something from Pittsburgh City Council. I'm not going to lie. They have some concerns that they brought up, and we're addressing them. But I'm really excited that Councilman Lavelle is willing to look at some hard data that we gave him as far as references in the benefits of psychedelics, looking at some clinical trials, looking at some, we gave him everything from documentaries to articles to testimonies. They asked for a pretty thick amount of information. So just the fact that they said they are interested in the hard data and they're willing to look at it, I feel it's a step. I personally feel if City Council would recognize what a monumental moment this would be for them to sign this legislation into effect by the end of the year, I think that's great. Realistically, I unfortunately think we are going to be looking at a little longer than a year, but I'm just excited that they've invited us to the table. They are going to hear us out. I'm really excited what this is going to do for the Libertarian Party as far as, always having the message of ending the war on drugs. I'm just excited to hear something after thinking it was honestly like dead in the water for a while. So I'm really pumped.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, while you're developing these coalitions, like what do you see the end goal in here? Like maybe as a first small step, like, do you want to see it go into clinical trials? Do you want to see it? Like, how do you see this moving forward?
I mean, my ultimate goal would be that they just sign this bill that would essentially decriminalize and make it the lowest priority for like legal law persecution for all of the entheogenic plants that we listed. But honestly, if they slice that down to just allowing psilocybin, that's still a win. If I get, you know, one entheogenic plant, you know, decriminalized in Allegheny County, I will be over the moon. If right. I hope they realize that you really can't, we've already kind of, you know, put these weird parameters around like the medical marijuana program in Pennsylvania, which is fantastic, but it has a lot of work that needs done. And then, you know, my other hope is that once they sign the entheogenic plant policy into effect and we get into the negotiation part of what's all included in that bill, I'm really pushing for home grow. That's my ultimate goal, is getting people home grow, because I can tell you from being involved in the psychedelic club, it's so heartbreaking when you get people coming around, they open up, they're excited to try psychedelics, and then you basically have to go, by the way, you can't actually do them because they're illegal and we can't condone any sort of, you know, selling or trading or anything like that. And it's just like so heartbreaking to like see it, you know, their realization of, you know, we're just here for education and harm reduction. But I also feel like, you know, we can't talk about the opioid crisis and we can't talk about the fentanyl problem that's going on in our city and not give people the safest way to get the safest medicine. If they're not getting it through some sort of, I mean, I would love to see even a medical psilocybin program, you know, kind of what's going on with HB 1561 with veterans and first responders. But I would love for somebody to go to their doctor, get a prescription, and they go to a medical psilocybin, you know, facility and get a 30-day microdosing pack. They get, you know, educated on what the different dosage does, you know, kind of like what I did when I worked in the medical cannabis industry. You know, that was my favorite part, was sitting down and just educating people who were genuinely curious, but wanted to be responsible about it. So yeah, my ultimate goal is that they just allow all entheogenic plants to be decriminalized and allow for home grow or community gardens. That was the other thing that I'm hoping to include in there, is community gardens. So if you're not comfortable growing your own medicine, or you feel like that's just not something you're handled for, because it's hard from what I've read. There's people that can't keep a succulent alive. So trying to grow marijuana or trying to grow, you know, entheogenic plants, like it's not like you can just grow tomatoes. it's an intense process from what I've read, but yeah. I'm hoping that, you know, that opens up and that contributes to the community healing part of it too. So I'm really hoping they realize like this is an easy win. Like, you know, they want to guarantee some their seats, they want to guarantee some votes. This is an easy win if they sign this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as it goes, it's there's really a wealth of documentation of what psychedelics do for people that are suffering from PTSD, especially veterans, and the trials that they've had coming back from war and whatnot, especially with MDMA treatments and other things. So, yeah, it would be a great thing to just allow the ability to have people access these sorts of drugs. Yeah, by far. Well, I mean, we were left here a little bit. Obviously, we don't really have a guest. We're just sort of riffing between organizers on this podcast tonight. But one of the things that popped up this week in current events that I would like to really get into is the multi-car train in Ohio that derailed in East Palestine. They have just completely evacuated this area from chemical spilling. Now, have you heard anything about this?
I did. I remember seeing like alerts coming up on my phone. I'm so dumb that I was like, where the hell is East Palestine in Pennsylvania? Like, do I need to be concerned? Yeah, it's wild to see, and it's wild to watch. Like, you know it's serious when the local government is immediately evacuating and immediately putting out stuff. Like, that's when you know it's an actual, like, problem that they probably aren't handling very well, was how quickly it escalated on a public, like, outcry part. Not outcry, but, like, they were publicly saying, yeah, get out of here, don't leave your homes. Like, crazy.
I mean, you're talking literally thousands of people being evacuated from this area. And, like, for anybody unfamiliar with the chemical that's being spilled, it is a chemical that's involved in creating PVC. Its boiling point is roughly, like, 8 degrees Fahrenheit. So this thing, it's just spewing out of the sides of these freighters. And it's boiling already. And the way to deal with it was to light it on fire by public officials, and they're condoning it as like a or basically saying that it's a win. It's like, this is getting burned off, these chemicals, it's fine, it's going into the air, although they are extremely volatile. I mean, like, they are known carcinogens. It's vinyl chloride, I believe, is the name of it, and it causes dizziness, sleepiness, headache, risks of cancer in the liver, brain, lungs, and blood. Like, and it's just awesome. Being spewed in the air. And mind you, they have handled this containment issue very well, where, like, they are not allowing people into the area. They're evacuating them. They're making them leave their homes. But it's tragic, because they're not even, like, letting them go back to get their pets. To any of the things that they need in their area.
Oh my god, I would be inconsolable if you told me, like, yeah, you can't go get your cat.
It's fucking brutal. But yeah. You know, they're obviously there's mitigation efforts in place, but I just find it funny, because it's one of these things that media outlets often do, where they're just trusting the narrative that's coming forth from the the line that was taking these chemicals, and they're saying, well, we have it under control, and then that's just the run with, is that, okay, this whole thing it's under control, and then Fox News says it's under control, and then the administration's like, well, they're handling it. But in reality, what the fallout from this event might be, you know?
Yeah, it's a good old Chernobyl narrative.
It's just, I mean, I don't know. Can you think of any other times that the government has decided to tell you, well, it's fine, we're handling the problem?
I mean, they kind of tried doing that with COVID in the beginning, but we all saw how that played out. But, like, nothing I can think of where it was, like, very obviously not okay and everyone was just repeating the line of, like, it's okay. So yeah, it's definitely not a good look. I just hope there's not too much, like you said. That would be such a concern to me, is all that stuff. You know, it's bad, and my god, it's bad enough, like, all the plastics that, you know, so much of our lives touch, and what they're finding out, like, the ramifications of that are just touching receipt paper, let alone now PVC chemicals are being actively burned and breathed in. And you have to wonder, like, what that's going to do to, like, all the flora around the area, you know, like, all the, like, the trees and everything. Like, you got to wonder, like, what that's going to do. Like, is this literally going to be a little, like, Three Mile Island type situation? Like,
I mean, I'm not really, like, honestly, I'm not a chemist here. I can't tell you exactly what happens when the stuff aerosolizes as it goes into the atmosphere, but I can't imagine that it's good. And there is a lot of food that's grown in Pennsylvania. You know, it's just one of those things that I feel like begs the question over time. Cause, like, obviously we live in a time where, you know, cancer rates explode. People are constantly getting sick from various diseases. And, like, nobody ever talks about that time that the government decided to blow up 2,000 nuclear devices in Nevada, and the fallout just landed all over the country.
Oh, I see what you're getting at now. Like, yeah, like, that, oh my god, that's actually terrifying. The fact that, I don't want to say that that's so far out of some people's minds that we don't even think about that. That's wild. That's terrifying, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking like a solid 40, 50 years where we just blew up nuclear bombs on the other side of the country, and the jet stream carried it over the lands that grow food for the entire world. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonder that there are so many medical anomalies going on in society today. But
well, that's a fun tinfoil one to get into.
Maybe they're questions we shouldn't ask.
That's okay. I almost went tinfoil hat on my one friend, and I had to like reel it in about just like what I feel like they're purposely doing to the food supply with the whole soy agenda and the fake milk, and you know why everybody seems to have tummy issues, and then they just were like, oh, by the way, here's this magical, like, oh, you're having all these, you know, stomach issues, like we have this great new product called, you know, almond milk, or what's the other, I think it's almond milk. I don't know. I don't mess with that. I like try to literally eat only real food as much as possible. But it's like, oh, here's this, not real milk that one of the main ingredients is a shit ton of antacid. So you're literally drinking Tums all day. So no wonder you think it's better for you. It's just, it's like wild to backtrack that stuff and be like, oh, okay, that's why testosterone levels have been plummeting for the last decade. It's a whole like crazy, but it's like, no, we have it under control. We know the food pyramid. We know what's good for you. Just wait for instruction.
I don't know if you like TikTok quite as much as I do, but recently the things are coming up on my feed where they're the chickens that aren't having the eggs.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I've seen that. I do not.
And people just change the feed, and all of a sudden, the chickens have eggs.
I have seen that. Yeah, they've been, like, stopped feeding them on, like, the store-bought feed and basically giving them, like, a natural diet, and all of a sudden, they're laying, like, 40 eggs.
They go down to, like, a local farm, and they pick up some milled feed from that local farm, and all of a sudden, their chickens just produce eggs. It's strange. I don't know. It's weird how these crises seem to come with these other elements of it. And, you know, I'm sure there's a grain of salt with it on both ends, but a lot of the truth always lies in the gray area of it, but it makes you wonder.
Yeah. It's the same where every time they said there was a shortage coming, all of a sudden those things were going up in flames mysteriously. Like we have an egg shortage.
Planes crashing. Into the buildings, like, and lighting them on fire.
It's one of those things where I almost feel bad for people who are so numbed to it and so plugged in to the Matrix that, like, at this point, it's right in front of your face and you can't get away with anything today anymore with social media and phones and cameras on every device. So it's like, if you're still in denial or you're still rolling your eyes at these like conspiracy theories, then you have it right in your face. Like, I actually envy you a little bit. I envy that you can, you know, be in such a deep state of denial and sleep at night. Bless.
Yeah, it's probably a way easier way to sleep for a lot of people.
It is. It 1,000% is. It's so much easier just to stuff all that down than to deal with like reality.
Well, to maybe segue into a topic of things that are right in front of your face. Obviously,
yeah, speaking of, I know you're talking about TikTok. Speaking of Chinese Communist Party
propaganda
and spyware.
How about that balloon that just flew over most of the United States before we decided to drop it into the Atlantic with the largest military budget in the world?
Worst pinata ever.
it's just so odd. I mean, like, and the narrative that's still coming forward from the CCP is that it was just a weather balloon that got blown off course that happened to be rigged with explosives and a lot of cameras.
I always love to go like Alex Jones level theory. I think we knew that shit was there. I think that was like a weird test. I think that was a total distraction that of everything else going on with the eggs and with, you know, like the political stuff. I was like, that's such an obvious distraction. But it's still wild to think that, okay, let's go with it's not. Like, let's go with the CCP is literally seeing, like, what, how, like, how fragile the United States has become because we're so busy, like, tearing each other apart, that they felt bold enough to do that, and how long we let it just hang out up there.
I do wonder how much of it, like, because I enjoy delving into, like, the way that the socio-political system is in Russia and in China. And there's a lot of disconnect that goes on. And I do wonder if maybe they thought that because this balloon was so high, nobody would have seen it. And they're just that disconnected from reality that it's 2023 and the technology is there to observe these sorts of things that wasn't there before.
I mean, that's a fair point that they might have literally just been, I mean, we're a very dumb country. It's not out of, you know, the question to think that they were just as dumb to, like, have a simple oversight like that.
I don't know. It's just wild to me that even after everything, after it's been well observed that this was, it was a spy satellite attached to a balloon. That,
the denial is always, like, the stories are always crazy, or they just don't cover it. Like, that's the one that I think annoys me the most, is, like, they just don't cover these things, because they know that some people only get their news, like, what is spoon-fed to them from CNN, from Fox News, from MSNBC. So if it's literally not spoon-fed to them at dinner time when they're watching the news, like, people have no idea. Like, no idea. I had a bigger concern with, okay, how we put a ridiculous amount of money into the military industrial complex, correct? We supposedly have, we honestly, it's more scary thought of, like, we have no idea what we have, like, as the citizens. We have no idea what crazy weapons that they are coming up with that we, like, that actually aren't leaking. But my thing was, how is our best countermeasure to pop the goddamn balloon into the air, into our atmosphere? Like, good thing that thing wasn't full of the real COVID that actually killed a million people a week, like they wanted us to believe.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
With the first pandemic.
I mean, had that happened the way, that could have been a very volatile situation.
I mean, I remember, in school, like, being in school when 9/11 was happening, and, like, the threat of anthrax, like, people were afraid to get their goddamn mail, and, you know, kids pranking the post offices by putting, like, baby powder and shit in there, or, you know, it's like, it's crazy. And it's even crazier because Biden actually, I think, just talked about that. He touched on that, actually, like, they're cracking down on on that. So it's like, so you're talking about cracking down on, you know, mailing drugs through the post office, which, first of all, if you pull that amateur move, you deserve to get caught. First of all, like, I don't have any sympathy for that. Like, with anything, if you're dumb enough to get caught that obviously, then you deserve to get caught. But it's like, we don't know what that could have been. You know, like, I won't get into all the conspiracy theories of where the original COVID virus, but it's like, we learned nothing from the pandemic that maybe governments, I don't know, engineer bioweapons and then, like, I don't know, test them on people and see, like, oh, that's interesting how that happened.
I mean, I suppose,
we've never done that in the history of the United States or any governments.
They did a bit of diligence to allow it to float across the entirety of the United States before they blew it up in the Atlantic Ocean. So should it have been a serious problem, at least it fell into the water.
I don't know. Yeah, good. Get into the water. Kill all the fish. Kill all the marine life. Like, I know people probably hear this and think, like, we're insane. And it's like, I don't think about this all day, but it's kind of like, I don't know anything from anything, and I could put that scenario together. So I promise you that, I'm sorry, my cat is, like, trying to get involved in the podcast.
Oh, you're good.
It's like, I don't know anything from anything, and I could come up with that just fun little scenario. So what do you think, like, actual dictators and generals are sitting there going, like, hey, you know what we could do?
Well, I can tell you, at least in the example of Russia, most of them are figuring out how to line their pockets with money that should otherwise be going towards body armor. And that's typically how these regimes work. I mean, they're terribly corrupt entities, and we have no reason to fear them. And maybe we shouldn't spend four times the next nation's budget on our military. So the last one that I did have for you, which may not be on your radar, but it is something that I know that you have brought up in the past that you at least have a little bit of things to say about it. So there is a new game that came out, and I'm not sure if you know, but this Hogwarts game. There is so much hate.
I love the fact that there's so much hate, but these socialist kids are so desperate to make money off of doing nothing that they'll still stream it. And I always have, like, sometimes an issue with charities if it's not literally from the person's pocket directly handed to the you know, to the actual charity, like, to that establishment. Like, unless it's literally like, I'm a millionaire, I'm donating $100,000. Here's, like, our, you know, show, here's our TV check. I am finding it hilarious. Cause again, I don't have TikTok, but because I use Instagram, sometimes the TikToks will come up, and I've been seeing, like,
it's how all part and parcel of the same thing.
They, them kids are like, well, I know she's bad, but if you want to watch the stream, you know, it's funny how they could separate the art from the artist when it was convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the thing that's really blowing my mind, because, I mean, maybe I am off base here, and there's a very good possibility of this. I'm not right about everything all the time, some of the time, but the people that I grew up with that loved Harry Potter, that, like, they lived in this world when I was in middle school, getting into high school and whatnot, and waiting outside of a Barnes & Noble for the last book to come out and shit like this. Were they not the same people that were also involved in the movement that is now turning this into some sort of, it's just like a crusade against anybody that loves this genre. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so odd to me. I don't know. I mean, J.K. Rowling said things that I would suppose were alarmist, 4 or 5 years ago, but to my knowledge, I don't think she had any creative license on anything that came out to do with this whatsoever. And there's people that are just, they're getting bullied online for just wanting to, I don't know, be a witch and play a video game. And it's so sad.
Right. Like, I understand where some people who are very attached to their ideology are going to be offended by what she said. But this whole, like, well, if I don't want it, then you can't have it thing. I don't get it. It's like, if you don't want to play the game, then don't play the game. Don't, like, it's just that simple. It's like the same thing when, like, I watch people, you know, they'll literally sit on the internet and look at shit until they make themselves so crazy that they're screaming into the ether with the other people screaming into the ether on there. It's like, just keep scrolling. Take it out of your feed. I literally just did a feed cleanup and it wasn't like anything crazy. It was just, there were some brands and there were some, you know, content creators who, what they're promoting does not align with my values or my morals anymore. And it's not even that I don't like their products. Like, there's some of them that I've bought products and I like them. It just, again, it doesn't, I probably won't now because it doesn't align with my morals. And I don't sit there and like bash them in every post that comes up. I just go, okay, we're done with that. Mm-hmm. And it's just this wild, it's just another piece of the cancel culture where it's like, well, if I can't have it or I don't want it, then everybody has to get on in board with my, you know, my ideals.
The level of vitriol behind it is the thing that's really alarming me, because it's like there's literally subreddits that exist where these people conjugate to find out who is the next person they're going to just impose their anger and will on. And I mean, some of these people, you can look at the articles. A lot of them are female streamers that don't have a large following. They probably make a good 20, maybe 30 grand a year off of their following. Several thousand people that regularly show up. And they're being brought to tears by just these mobs of human beings coming in, just bullying the shit out of them until they turn their stream off. And it's so counterintuitive to the way that you would think that group would operate.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, it's always funny to me how the love is love and hate has no home here people are the most ruthless, like the most vicious, like so quick to burn. Like, these girls love to be witches, but they sure do love to burn people at the stake, like the Catholic Church, whenever you don't agree with their ideals. And the funny thing is, the only reason that I've embraced like a little bit of cancel culture in the sense of not like coming after people, I think that getting canceled is great for people because it pushes them like to reality. It pushes them towards truth seekers. Like, it kind of rips the mask off of all that like communist socialist, you know, like propaganda and way of thinking that a lot of those groups have. Like, me getting canceled for like, funny enough, we were talking about your Hail Lobster shirt. Me getting canceled for just reading 12 Rules for Life by Dr. Jordan Peterson was literally one of the best things that ever happened to me. Like, as much as it hurt, and I had that like knee-jerk reaction, because at the time I still gave like getting canceled or getting like dropped by friends who, you know, knew me for almost 10 years, but then because I read a book about trying to get my life together, they're like, well, you're Satan now. It's that whole, but these are the same people that like put, again, in their bio, like, you know, you're safe with me and I'm the most accepting, but man, as soon as you don't subscribe to their exact way of thinking or their exact opinion, it's real weird how they're quick to like send people to your house. I just had a situation where I can't talk about it too much because there's a little bit of legal stuff going on. I just had a situation where someone sent something to my house to be like vindictive and spiteful, like nothing like, you know, not like a bomb, like nothing crazy like that.
But not anthrax.
No anthrax. Neuroanthrax, but I just had this situation that I've talked about privately, like with the party and stuff, because it's a perfect example of, again, like that counter what they promote about themselves. Like the same people that, again, are like, oh, I'm about community and love is love. And it's like, well, you took time out of your day to like dig up my address and send me something. Like that's still effort that you put in, but that's fine, because karma's a way better scorekeeper than I am. So
certainly. Yeah. I mean, just think what the community is going to have to do when they have to come to terms with the fact that, 80% of children that think that they have some sort of gender dysphoria issue that grow up were actually gay. And when they reach adulthood, that's what it was. But they got mutilated as children, and then they take their own lives.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
between like what happened with COVID, what we're seeing where like kids are not, you know, integrated into society, they're having speech issues, between that and the, you know, gender dysphoria trend, because, and I've said this before, I do believe there is a very small amount of people who actually, you know, are born in the wrong body. Like they have,
there's 100 years of psychological
damage, and they, for that. And, yes. And they have, yeah, they have genuinely suffered. They have genuinely
150%
trying to acclimate into society while living with this, you know. Same thing with, you know, every day I kind of joke, I'm like, I feel so bad for the LGB community, because they just wanted to like marry who they love and get insurance and, you know, all these, you know, not be, you know, and again, like a real community that had real pain in it. And then social media came up, and it's really strange to me that I've said this about the Me Too movement. I've said this about a lot of things online, you know, including this like new, like, it's just really weird to me that it was after we locked people in their houses, gave them no contact, and basically, you know, injected them with fear every day of their lives, that all of a sudden they realized that they were born in the wrong body.
Yeah, it's by no means I'm an expert in anything that I'm saying here, but it's strange that people that were probably already subject to a lot of depression and anxiety and exclusion in their lives found this thing that the internet was celebrating as a very unique thing for them to hang on to. And
instant community, an instant support system of, I mean, strangers. Like, some of you have to realize it's internet strangers. So, you know, I don't know how, you know, I'm not saying that having internet friends and whatnot, you know, even just within the party, some of us haven't really met in person yet. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know how much I would open up about something that deep to complete strangers. And that's like, again, that's like what the real sad part of is, like, there is like real pain rooted in what's going on there. It's just a shame that like it's turned into a for-profit thing for doctors, because doctors are making a ton of money off of doing these cosmetic surgeries. You know, I'm sorry, but like what it comes down to is they're cutting the breasts off these young women. And in 10 years, if they decide to detransition, they're going to make another round of money when they put their breasts back on.
Yeah. And the wild part of it is a lot of it isn't even necessarily that people want to do it. There's compulsion that's coming down from the colleges and from, you know, academia in general, to say that, like, if you don't, like, if you don't give credit to the thing that these people may be feeling and offer this as an alternative, especially in fields of psychology, that you're in jeopardy of losing your license. I mean, it's wild.
I mean, there were people saying that, you know, they had concerns for, you know, doing it for and this is across the board, but they were so afraid of like the backlash of saying no that they went against their better judgment as doctors and physicians and said yes.
And yeah, I mean, look at the hundreds of people doing that over COVID alone.
Right.
And the repercussions that have come from
yeah,
that.
It's, you know, I really hope that, like, if there are, you know, people who genuinely are suffering and they're genuinely, you know, because I mean, there are, I do feel that again, for that small amount that are genuinely going through gender dysmorphia. And now we're seeing, you know, corporate companies like offering, you know, extended insurance for, you know, transition surgeries, for their hormones, for all that. But my thing is, like, again, if you want to put everybody under that umbrella, like, we have to start talking about how we've failed mental health in this country. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's the problem, is all these people have, do have something in common. They're all usually in pain and they're trying to get to the root of it, you know? And it's just a shame that, like, we have taken their pain and capitalized on it. Like, that's the message I wish these people would understand. It's not that every person who has concerns about a 10-year-old boy, you know, wanting to be non-binary, like, that we're all, like, transphobic. Like, that's not it. Like, are there probably some people who just are genuinely transphobic in that? Of course. It's the same. You're going to get lumped in with the majority all the time, unless you talk to every single person individually and get their opinion. But it's just a shame that, again, we can't just bring a little bit of common sense to the table and say, hey, maybe we're going to see serious repercussions in the population because we've been sterilizing men and women in many ways, shapes, and forms outside of the transgender movement. And what do you think that's going to do? Like, there's already people who, you know, because of how expensive it is to just survive, that, like, don't feel it's right to bring children into the world. And now you're going to have that backlash. I mean, China's going through that right now. They're seeing their first population decrease. Like, the percentage went down. Like, they're underpopulated, which is crazy to think about, but think about how populated China is and they still saw that dip. What do you think is going to happen to the U.S. when our government is actively saying, sterilize your children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we're looking at an issue, and I mean, it's pretty well documented. The next 10 to 20 years, the entire CCP is going to collapse from the absence of a population to grow into the positions that exist currently. You know,
but like, you just convinced me that we actually need to support this movement in the U.S. because if that means less socialists and communists, I will bite my tongue and say,
well,
you know what, Susan, you need some extra social credit points. You need to document on TikTok, you know, trans or putting your 4-year-old through transition surgery. You do it, Karen.
I would, for the greater good. I would say that in large part, most of the people, just like in the United States, don't really buy on to these narratives. It is just it's a loud minority that comes forward with it. I mean, I imagine most people in China do not want to be under a totalitarian regime. It's just terrifying to speak out against it. And it's something that we need to make sure it doesn't happen here.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've only been kind of awake to this for the last 3 years. Like, that was the only benefit of COVID for me, is like, that was a big wake up moment. Like, I thankfully, like, and I was very close to teetering the other way with that, of like waking up or going insane. I was teetering very, very close. And thank God, like, literally, thank God that he aligned things that happened in my life the way that they did, because I definitely would have fallen the other way, and I would have fallen very hard. And it's like terrifying to, like, when you put it all together, you know, that's where they, like, people wonder where these conspiracy theorists come from. It's like, aren't you watching the real news? Like, look what's happening right in front of you.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the abyss.
I like it here.
Well, we were meant to make this a little bit of a shorter episode, since we didn't really have anything planned with it. Did you have anything to add before we go off broadcast?
No, just, you know, thanks for coming through. And I know we both kind of did this last minute, but I think this went well. We covered some topics, and yeah, I'll be getting ready to post more about the entheogenic plant policy. So my only request is that if you're in Allegheny County, please reach out to Pittsburgh City Council, reach out to your local legislators. If you believe in advocating for plant medicine, if you want to see psychedelics decriminalized, because the more requests they hear and the more they know that's going to guarantee them a seat, like, you got to use your vote the way you, you know, use a review on Amazon. You know, if we started asking for a refund when these politicians didn't come through on their promises, the way that you asked for a refund, you know, again, from Amazon, from Starbucks, like, you'd be surprised, like, how quickly seats would move.
Certainly. Well, we hope to hear from you soon. And thanks, everybody, here joining us. And we will see you next week, Thursday at 9.
Bye, guys.
Have a good night, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.